765 people died, 1,440 people wounded in the capital city over this coup attempt from the faction of the government. More than 2,800 officers have been detained from this point, and Turkey has deemed their airspaces to be closed. The UK leaves the EU. We have a Prime Minister. It is Malcolm Turnbull. Bill Chun admits defeat and concedes from the race for Prime Minister. 8 weeks and the brand Dick Smith will be finished. Yet another terrorist attack has taken place on Earth. After a decade in prison, convicted drug smuggler Chappelle Corby is in sight of again calling the Gold Coast home. Former Cuban President Fidel Castro dies at age 90. Vice President-elect Mike Pence there introducing Donald Trump, the President-elect of the United States of America. Adoption by same-sex couples and singles to be legalized in Queensland. Pokemon Go, the new Pokemon game. It's available to people in Australia, New Zealand, Japan, and selected areas of North America and Europe. Magic has crept onto the shelves of bookstores across the world, with crowds flooding in for the long-awaited release of J.K. Rowling's latest addition to the Harry Potter series. Malcolm Turnbull has come out today and said that he wants to reform the Federation's the way that we do taxes. David Cameron addressing the British Parliament after his resignation as Prime Minister of the UK. They announced that they were pleased that the Bill C-14 criminal legislation on medical assistance in dying passed through Canadian Parliament. Hurricane Matthew has been causing havoc on the east coast of Florida. 2:02 Eastern Time this morning in Orlando, Florida, gunfire opened up at the Pulse nightclub, an LGBTQ nightclub. Listening to the Generic Live Show's greatest hits of 2016. Hi there, folks, and welcome to the Generic Live Show's greatest hits of 2016. I'm Dale Campbell. 2016 was a very interesting year where there wasn't really one singular moment that you could call 2016 its own. As you heard in that montage just a second ago, there were 17 major stories that could have been picked as the singular, definitive moment of 2016. But luckily, sharing the load around is what the news pretty much did in 2016. As you will hear over the next hour and a half to 2 hours, is some of my favourite moments of this show in 2016. Like the news in general, there wasn't really one singular moment. But one thing that did dominate the show for months on end is the various amounts of elections that took place. Three, in fact. One was local council elections, another was federal elections, and not to mention the US presidential elections. Why not let us tell you everything you need to know about the elections that took place in 2016. Breaking down. So what is exactly happening today on Saturday the 19th of March? Well, you guys are going to head to the polls. If you haven't head to the polls already, pre-polling at the Cairns Showgrounds has already been started. It was between the 7th and the 11th of March, and the 14th to 17th of March, and on the 18th of March. So, pretty much, for the last 2 weeks,
pre-polling has been open if you couldn't vote today. By the way, I want to remind you, the Queensland local government elections are compulsory for all voters who are enrolled. If you are enrolled to vote, please do get down to your local polling place. We'll tell you more about where those polling places are for you. We'll break that down for you as well. And there's a number of mobile polling booths that operate for health and aged care facilities as well for those people who are inclined to vote. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, 2016, dear Lord, oh God, no, oh God, no. That's right. You know, okay, hold the goddamn phone. Now, here we go. You know, someday, if I run for public office, okay, first of all, someone talk me off the cliff. Second of all, one thing I'm not going to do, and this is on record, so here we go, 7th of June, 2016 at 8:50 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. I am not going to get up on stage and ask a stupid question to the audience. What type of question is that? Like, what? It pisses me off. You have the world watching you. You are at a rally in right before the election, and now you're asking, who's voted by mail? Yes! Oh, yes. Now, granted, it's off the cuff. It's spontaneous. I get it. Who? You are on the world stage, and you just asked, who has voted by mail? I don't hear a mention of thanking the supporters. I don't hear a mention of thanking volunteers. See? Okay. All right. American friends, stay with me here. Could you see Donald Trump counting his money on the floor of Congress? You could see that, right? Please tell me you can see that. Oh my God, that could totally happen. You know that could totally happen. I want that to happen so. Hey, you know, bad news delivered in a jaunty undertone like this one. This music even sounds like bad news is even more tolerable. Like Malcolm Turnbull forming a government. That is sad news, but jaunty nevertheless. We are going to be talking about the Democratic convention that happened on the show this week, like we did with the Republican convention. Should have ripped these off before the show, but I'm doing it now. The report cards are back. We are going to be talking report cards. They're bigger report cards, but they're on two pages. We'll say I do have a couple of other notes in regards to the Democratic convention as opposed to the Republicans last. We had the Republicans last week. We've got the Democratic report cards this week. Way fewer speakers this week in the Democratic side of things than the Republican side of things. The Republican side of things last week, we had to truncate the amount of speakers, amount of time that we had on each one. There was two. This is keynote major speakers, not performances or nothing. But we will talk about the fallout in regards to this, I suppose, in each day like we did last week. But it's less jammed packed, and I don't know why. And I'm kind of saddened as to why. And I'm kind of baffled as to why they didn't have as many kind of speakers this time around as opposed to the Republicans. We're doing something a little bit different on our coverage of the Republican National Convention. You knew it was going to be happening. you kind of predicted it. I mean, really, it just... It's something that's been dominating the news for 4 days. You know, we've been covering it here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Thanks for joining us. Dale Campbell with you, of course, on this Sunday. Beautiful Sunday it is. Like I said, we've been here. We're going to be breaking up the four nights over four segments. Of course, the four big segments on the show will be dedicated to the convention. The rustling that I have, these bits of paper that I'm holding up to the camera, these are report cards that I have done up at letter grades and comments on, for the first three nights, five speakers, and on the final night, four speakers, to make sure I give enough time for Donald Trump's, the critiques of Donald Trump's speech. He was on the fourth night. We're going to give them letter grades. We're going to let you hear sound from all of these speakers. I should keep saying candidates, but from all of these speakers, you're going to hear them in all of their glory. Of course, you're going to hear them right here. We're going to give you excerpts of all five speakers, then we're going to give them letter grades, or what I grade them, letter grades, along with comments like report cards. Simple, effective, and different. It's a little bit different, you know? Oh my god, what the heck just happened? We did it again. We've got a potential for a hung parliament yet again. He really said them for this, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. That's your job, dude. That's your job, dude. Your job. This is ridiculous. That's your job, to give people the benefit of the doubt. But anyway, despite that call for Pope Francis' remarks to do swift and angry condemnation from the billionaire tycoon. For a religious leader to question a person's faith is disgraceful, Mr. Trump said in a statement delivered on his campaign stop in South Carolina. I'm proud to be a Christian, and as president, I will not allow Christianity to be consistently attacked and weakened. I hate to say it, folks. Note it down. Friday the 19th of February, 11:10 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time Zone. I agree with Donald Trump. That I don't know the man's faith, and I don't know him personally enough to know the man's faith, but he's kind of right. He's kind of got a point here. That the Pope shouldn't be attacking people. At the time of this writing, 19th of February at 8:56 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. There are two petitions. Move on. By the activist group, Move On. This process is undemocratic and fundamentally unfair to the Democratic primary voters, the group, as director Aya Shearman said. Democracy only works when vote of people. No decision of a small number of elites. Superdelegates must stand with voters in honour of their outcome in primary and caucuses in the country. The party's base simply does not tolerate anti-democratic efforts by superdelegates. What the will of the people. More neutral voices are pointing out that Clinton's structural advantage. If you were a Sanders supporter, you might think it's profoundly unfair. And you'd be right. It is profoundly unfair. Stats guru Nate Silver wrote on 5:38. Superdelegates were created in part to give the Democratic Party elites an opportunity to put their finger on the scale. It isn't about to get any better for Sanders either. According to The Hill, Clinton can count on support for over half of the superdelegates in Nevada and South Carolina, which those states are voting on Saturday. Sanders himself isn't complaining. He's counting on the repeat of Clinton's long, tough campaign against Barack Obama, in which she also raced to an early lead among superdelegates, but then watched many of them deflect to Barack Obama
they realized that Obama was going to be the nominee anyway. Quote, if we continue to do well around the country, and if superdelegates' main interest in life is to make sure we don't have a Republican in the White House, if they understand I am the candidate who is best suited to defeat the Republican nominee, I think they'll start coming over to us, Sanders told CBS Sunday. Democratic National Committee, which oversees the party primaries, is also playing down the importance of superdelegates. Ultimately, each state's delegation is comprised of a diverse group of citizens like you and the Democratic leaders you elected, Denise Traylor, the committee's director of party affairs and delegate selection, wrote last weekend. So, but it's... it's interesting, because, yeah, these super delegates are way more, they have play a way bigger role in this process than the voters do. So what I'm understanding is that these super delegates have more of a role. They kind of play into the hands of the candidate. But they sound like they're fully flexible, as to say they're not necessarily pushovers, but they will go to whatever's going, if that makes sense. They'll go to whatever, whoever is the most popular people of a person of the day, if that makes sense. Which is fair. I mean, you know, you don't want to throw your if you're a super person, you don't want to be supporting a loser. I can understand that. You want your name to be a part of someone who is going to win. So, it's all fair game, love and love in politics, I guess.
Not only did the elections dominate news headlines, they also dominated Dale's life for a little while, as he got to meet opposition leader Bill Shorten and even help out on election day. Take a listen.
We had a brush of fame here in where I live here in Cairns. We had the leader of the opposition and political candidate for the Labour Party, which is to say that if Labour was to get majority, he would be the new Prime Minister. We had Bill Shorten here in Cairns on Wednesday, and I had the pleasure of meeting him as well. Because of my leanings with the candidate here locally, I cannot express any further opinion on this topic. But it's to say that it was fascinating meeting Bill Shorten. It was fascinating. I can say that much for sure.
I was handing out voting cards. I was put up at the entrance, pretty much the entrance. One of the main entrances anyway, the main entrance. There was three of us up there. There was myself, member of the LNP, and an independent up there, one of the independent candidates' representatives were up at the main entrance handing out. I'm going to say, well, they're a lot older and wiser than what I am. Not the first time at the rodeo. This is my first time at the rodeo, and I've got a lot of ideas. If I do this again, I've got a lot of ideas on what I'm going to be doing. For handing out next time. So I learned a lot on Saturday about myself and about how to put myself out there. What I didn't appreciate of this, and you know, it's all fun games and love and politics, but people were walking up behind us, of course, trying to avoid us like you would. I mean, I understand the psyche. I mean, I'm not trying to force myself on people. I'm a very courteous person, if you know who I am, you know, in public. But people were walking up behind us, and I didn't see. I was focusing on where I was going and the I was facing the other way. There's a path that was, runs behind where we were standing. And people were walking up, you know, on the, my, would that be my left-hand side? So would that be? On my, yeah, on my left-hand side, that would be. So, they were walking up behind me. The person who I was with ran across me, kind of shoved me out of the way, to hand out his brochure. And the look on people's faces were like, oh my God, did he just do that? So I came back with a sales pitch. I said, they'll push you around too, ha 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 ha. And so I was charming about it. And the look on the guy's face was, oh crap, he's getting good. And you know, we all shook hands afterwards, you know, say the beep. No, we're all getting along. We're all humans after all. So, and then, you know, it's fair game and love in politics. But I just thought, and that happened twice, in two separate occasions, you know, and just a constant hackling as well. I got some good hackling tactics, and you know, I really put up a good fight. But really, really interesting experience to actually volunteer and hand out those cards. It's very different than actually being on the other end of that line receiving them.
Not only did the elections garner lots of news headlines over 2016, the tragic event that happened in Orlando, Florida at the Pulse Gay Nightclub also garnered news headlines for many, many months in 2016. Here's my reaction to the tragic events in Orlando, Florida.
Terrorist shooting that happened in Orlando, the gay nightclub in Orlando at Pulse Nightclub. A bit of a matter of information to bring you up to date as we kick off the broadcast here on a Sunday. For the final death toll, as it hasn't moved for about 3 to 4 days now, it hasn't moved off this much. 43 killed, 53 injured. The 50th that the media has been reported, including the gunman. So 49 victims with 53 injured. They were taken to hospital early Sunday morning, Mayor Buddy Dreyer said. The gunman who also died, that makes him number 50. Omar Mateen, 29, of St. Louis County in Florida. According to the American Broadcasting Corporation Company News, Martin was on the radar, in quotation marks I'm reading, of terrorist officials, but was not the target of any specific investigation. According to various reports, Martin, who is Muslim, had pledged allegiance to ISIS in a 911 call prior to the shooting. Police officer, the official that was involved with the shooting, he has made a full recovery. I'd like to report this evening as well. He has made a full recovery, so he is all back to normal life as a cop. He has all of the full emotional and physical support that he needs to carry on his life, I would assume, because that's what a statement from the county police office said, the Orange County in Florida officials said, because, you know, if he'd been shot at by a terrorist, then that would go on and commit this mass murder. But good Samaritan in the official there is alive, thank the Lord. President Obama dubbed the shooting the worst mass shooting in the U.S. and referring it to an act of terror and hate. This is an attack on all of us, Obama made a statement. Here's the thing, though, and I know I'm going to be putting my foot in my mouth shortly after saying this, but I made the point on the show a while ago, particularly when the San Bernardino shootings happened. I mean, the person was driven. He was a former disgruntled employee
That was the motivation of the San Bernardino attacks. Now, you can say it's not, or it's, you know, it can, you know, feel like he has other motivations there. And people around him knew, the former and, well, they're both former wives now, but the former wife, prior to the wife that Martine had before the shooting, she said that, you know, he had homosexual tendencies and such, and he had visited Pulse nightclub before. I'd hate to be Captain Obvious here, and I know this is a grim situation, and I know I shouldn't be making light of it, but Captain Obvious would tell me, of course he had visited or had people in his camp who had visited the nightclub before he shot it up. I mean, that would be just common sense, because he'd want to know his surroundings before shooting up the place. That's just common sense to me. So common sense would prevail that one on me. But the homosexual tendencies things, well, that cannot be scientifically proven. Sorry. It can't. Trust me. If anyone knows, it would be me. But, you know, if it can be scientifically proven, I am more than happy to, you know, be more than happy to have someone come on the show and tell me how it's scientifically proven. And I made this point on Facebook, and we'll move on. Well, we got to move on to another terrible story that unfortunately got overshadowed by this terrible shooting. But I made this point on Facebook this last week. It's becoming less an argument about guns and more about the point of legislation at this point. It's becoming an argument of what's more important, a constitution that, yes, your country is founded on, and yes, you should be kind of as strict as you can towards it, but legislative law keeps that country in motion. And you've got to think, if your country stuck to your legislation, hello, Queensland would not be a state. So I'm just saying there's pros and cons to a constitution. But where do you start? Do you start by changing the mindset of people of what's more important, the legislation or the constitution? You have to kind of change the attitude of people there. But I wanted to give a quick update, an overall update on the Orlando nightclub scene. Of course, we'll bring updates to you if they further develop. To break things up a little bit, now we're going to take a look at some of the more laughable moments of 2016 for the Generic Live Show. Google, earlier in the year, launched text-to-speech, where you could talk, and it comes out with text on the page with some hilarious results. Take a listen. Go to hot tub normal keyboard in 26, 2006. That was trying. Took out the car. That was the only man I'm on Twitter. I mean, if we say something like, okay, Google, search Bonnie. Google search for Bernie. But the first leave right away, 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 away. Halo Reach, Halo, okay. What happened to here? What happened to see you at the start reading stuff? But it already managed to get it wrong. English right now, I want to. One. This is really good. Driving on demand. Because animatics, because I. Stop following me, Dale. Get away from me. It's doing the best I can. Click on that link if you know you want to. Ali Lady Dertin Estenstein. The hello, I have fun realized. Zanging. Happy birthday, Box. Xavier Z. LTU. Byron Buckafella. I will see you again soon. Attitude. I get a test. I don't know. None icon, okay? Night. Right. Afternoon. Anyway. Some of the best moments of 2016 have been organic. Other hilarious moments, however, sparred from me telling a story that really didn't have anything to do with anything at all. Hey, but we got Good Friday morning vibes for you. Listen to this. I, by the way, and I like to tell embarrassing stories about myself on radio because that's fun. You know, it's what I do. I do for a living. I like to make fun of myself. If nothing else in life, you can get a bit of self-humor in. If this person is listening, you are my savior. You've put a spring in my Friday morning step. And by the way, this we will get to politics, we'll get to news, we'll get to everything. But I just want to say this: I was walking to work yesterday, and this put me in a good mood for a Thursday. Nothing puts me in Thursday. But I was doing a fill-in shift, fill-in day shift, actually, which is quite strange for me. But I was walking down the street, you know, with my cup of coffee. I made some coffee before heading to work. Out of nowhere, I was walking down the street and suddenly got, like, a wolf whistle out of a window. I don't know if they were someone I knew. I don't think so. They didn't confirm it later on. So I'm pretty sure that it was a stranger giving me a wolf whistle down the street at 7:30 that song played in my head. Yeah, could you imagine it? Me walking down the street and a bit of that playing down my head as I'm walking, I'm finishing my trek to work. And by the way, it's not cold here at the moment. It's like, I'm going to say in Celsius because this is an Australian radio show, goddamn. And it is like 30 degrees Celsius at, like, that time of the morning. I wonder if it's about that. But, yeah, still, really, really warm. And I got a wolf whistle. So that put me in a great mood for a Thursday morning, and I hope that song has put you in a good mood for a Friday. Other rememberable moments happen when I go completely off the rails about a particular subject. One of the most rememberable ones in not only 2016 history, but in the show's entirety, would be the Give Captain America a Boyfriend petition. Here it is now for you in full. Strap yourselves in. So, here is my long-awaited response to the stupidity that is people trying to force Captain America to be gay. Now, this might come as a surprise to some people, and I might enrage a few people. And if you haven't seen Captain America Civil War, well, that's not my problem at this point. Needless to say that, yeah, spoilers. Do I have something? Do I? No, I don't have anything. Do I have anything handy? No, I don't. I just have this. I don't know. Spoilers. Yeah, there you go. That's your warning. If you're not out by now, I don't know what you're doing. Now, here we go. Why? That is my response. Why? Why does everyone... No, what? No. We can have straight characters. The point of this make Captain America gay hashtag that has been going around for a while now is that he and apparently Bucky of the Captain America films have some good chemistry. Now, the spoiler warning part of it is, to backstep slightly, is that in Civil War, Steve Rogers learns that Peggy Carter has died. And not long after attending a funeral, she has a kiss with Peggy's niece, Sharon Carter. Now, despite that apparently
apparently, that's not a good thing, according to an article that I saw online today. Now, here's the thing. And I get progression at the best of times. But you know, some things should be left the way they are. And I have to say this as a person of that persuasion myself. I don't want Hollywood to cave on this one. And here's why. Now, I say this, but a little bit of background to those people who don't know me. I had a relatively conservative upbringing. And it's not that I do hold some of those values to myself. Forcing actors and actresses to do things. Now, you got to think of the consequences if Hollywood decides to cave to this, make Captain America gay. You've got to think of the ramifications that this will have. You've got to think that not only does this completely screw up all sorts of storylines in the Captain America comics and stuff like that. Do you think these actors have to act this out? Chris Evans, who is not of that persuasion, and I've got to assume, who plays Bucky Barnes? Someone help me out here. Who plays Bucky? Sebastian Stan. Now, you've got to think these two actors have to, you know, act that out. Assuming that it is those two, you could argue, yes, you could get the two stand-ins to perform that act. Sure, that is an argument. Yes, Chris Evans' brother is gay, openly gay. I'm not ousting him here, but I don't know who Sebastian Stan's stand-in is. And there's this article here that this all spawned from the give Elsa a girlfriend controversy. Why are we forcing people to do things again? Why are we messing with stories that people are fans of? Why are we ruining those stories? And someone answer me that, and I will give them a cookie. Seriously, though, you gotta think. Why? And this article that I'm reading is terrible. Now, let me give you a sneak preview of this article, by the way. Will Captain America reveal that he is in a homosexual relationship with Bucky the Winter Soldier? No! He won't. Why? Because they're straight dudes. I'm sorry, but stories are the way they are for a reason. For a collective reason. Stories have a purpose. And I'm being fully serious here. I'm not. This anger is not dramatized. Dramatized. I don't know. It's real. I mean, I'm furious about this. And look at Captain America, the character himself. Why? It wouldn't make sense if he came out as homosexual. It wouldn't. He's a soldier who was frozen after World War II, I'm led to believe. Or I believe so. if memory serves me correctly. Why? Oh, he had a coming of age moment. Bull hucky. That is not true. I've had people in real life make that argument to me, and I've said bull hucky to them. I've replaced the word hucky with something that is of expletive nature that begins with the letter F, and hint, it's not the word fire truck. But, or fruitcake. But the point is, why are we messing with stories these days? Why? I get that the give the Elsa a girlfriend thing is separate. How, I may add, how you might be asking or screaming at your radios, why is it different? Because, I'll tell you why. Because it is different. Because Frozen is not based off three Marvel Cinematic Universe universe movies for a start. There's been a Frozen movie. Now I'm looking up at the moment. When the first comic for Captain America came out. It's loading. It's taking forever. 1969. Captain America came out in 1941 for a start. We're talking about 1941. There was no this homosexual forcing of characters. 1941? The hell? The what? And I get that. I don't know where I was going with that. I get that. Excuse me. I get trying to keep characters relevant in the modern age. I really do. But Captain America has a girlfriend already. We've seen their relationship in Civil War. We have video proof. We have visual proof on a screen. Even for those people who don't read the comics. We have visual proof that he's not into dudes. Get it? Alright. I just wanted... people have been asking me about that. And I just wanted to get that off my chest. That the difference between this... between... give Captain America a boyfriend... and give Elsa a girlfriend... is that Frozen... is... a movie... that came out in 20... something or other. When did Frozen come out? When did Frozen come out? 2014? 2015? 2013. Wow, Dale. How did you not remember that? But Captain America should not change. Now, I should clarify this in the minute that we have left here. Let me clarify something. I'm not against gay people or gay people in general in entertainment, obviously. But when you're trying to force your agenda on a pre-existing character who already has a significant other, then you're just forcing your agenda. And that I'm not okay with. So we continue here on the Generic Live Show. That is a rant and a half. Ladies and gentlemen, that... that's how you do a rant. Okay, now back to serious news stories. Remember back in the beginning montage of news headlines? It mentioned something about a same-sex marriage plebiscite.
Well, interesting news on that one. That plebiscite was both born and died in 2016. Here is the death of the plebiscite.
Guess what? It's dead. The plebiscite has been blocked for good as Labour stands behind the blockage for the plebiscite. Same-sex marriage debate in this the issue. The debate is far from over. It is going to remain lengthy in terms of this approach that is happening.
In addition to the Give Captain America a Boyfriend rant, I also had other rants in 2016 that have been deemed important. Here is Dale's rant on the argument of same-sex marriage, particularly in Australia.
How would you feel if you were told your marriage was to someone in another country was not in void? How would that make you feel? If it was me, and, you know, if I had a significant other, and, yeah, if I had a significant other and I was told that my marriage to my significant other was not in void because of one person not recognizing the marriage that happened, you have a marriage certificate to say that your marriage happened. It's not that that we're making it up. It happened. And honestly, to me, I think I would be devastated. I think that, you know, if you love someone, you love someone. That's how it is. And it's not like that if, say, for example, if this story, heaven forbid, happened to me or to someone who I loved. And, you know, I'm single, full disclaimer, at the recording of this clip, I'm presently single to my knowledge, at least. And heaven forbid, if something happened to my significant other, if I were to have one, and one person says that our marriage isn't void in another country, I mean, first of all, I couldn't get married to anyone in this country anyway, because gay marriage is still illegal and prosecutable by law, but still, I think the conversation still has to be had regardless. It's weird. We're one world, but we're still divided over a set of rules that should unite us as people. But I think we're still divided in, you know, who we are as a people. It's ridiculous. I think that regardless of whether you love a man or a woman, you shouldn't be punished for such acts. I think personally that people should be able to come together, and I think we have laws in place, and we will get to the main beat of the story, but I'm doing this analysis because I believe it requires as much setup. Rules and regulations are designed, societal laws are designed to bring our people together. But I think the more we try and construct society rules to bring people together, we are being further divided in a sense. I think unless every single country on this planet agrees on that sort of thing. Now, when it comes to same-sex marriage, which this story is about, because there's a lot to this story, I believe that this amount of setup is required. But I think when it comes to same-sex marriage, you've got countries like the United States of America who make a judgment in the High Court, and that becomes law of the land. Which that could be argued that the people don't necessarily want that. Excuse me for a second. Excuse me. But the people don't necessarily want that. People, you know, get that regardless of whether they want it or not. That's now the law of the land. You have to accept that. To another degree, where you have countries, third world countries, that are still communized that ban gay people, period, because they have Christian beliefs and they have Christian backgrounds. I think that is a huge detriment to a particular country. Now, whether or not that country decides to change its mind down the track as more people decide to go there. For example, I went to a third world country where that other extreme was taking place. I went to a place where homosexuality was banned. I had to pretend that I had a partner over here of the opposite sex to save myself being basically persecuted, not prosecuted, persecuted by the village, and to make sure that I wasn't being ostracized or being isolated by the community, which would have been a disaster for me as a person who had to be kind of a figurehead in that particular community. And I think that, you know, it's tough. It really is tough to find that right balance. Everything's hunky-dory here. Well, not necessarily, but everything's... me being myself here is being all hunky-dory, but when I go to a place where that is still an extremist view, I have to pretend to be someone else. It's fine. But, you know, it's devastating to see that those extremes still exist. I understand why they exist, but between two... And I'm talking about third world countries, by the way, and that other side of the extremism. One of the most heartfelt moments of 2016 is when I talked about Canada passing assisted suicide. But it's that emotional connection that really resonated with me. So, here it is. I wanted to tackle this because... this has become an issue in America too, as far as I understand, or as far as conservative morning talk show will have me understand. It's become a rather large issue over there. But the issue when it comes to... Well, the argument that I hear from these radio shows is that... it'll become a mainstream ideology. It'll become a mainstream topic. It'll become not necessarily the cool thing to do, but it'll become, I don't want to say popular either. I can't think of the word. It'll become the norm to end your life at a particular point. Now, I'm going to get a little bit personable, or personal, here on the show. My great-grandma, bless her heart, she had... she was suffering from Alzheimer's. And there was nothing that research could do for her at the time. And she was suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia. So both horrible things. The dementia is what ended her life in the end of all of it. But I feel like what happened here is what happened there is that she was sent off to a home, and where trained medical staff assisted her in trying to live her daily life. Now, of course, those staff became close to her, and of course she remembered who they were, because they were not living with her but keeping a close eye on her, particularly in her final days. And I feel like, and it was up to her, she wanted to go peacefully. But you got to think, she had, for lack of a better term, if we want to put a label on it, she had a mental condition. And she she couldn't consent. If proposed to her, she couldn't consent to have someone assist her with putting her out of her misery, so to speak. And from her own perspective, yeah, it was a misery. I mean, she, before the dementia hit, she was up and moving. She was up and around. So it's not like she was letting herself rot. I mean, even in the assistant home, you know, she was up and moving. She was out. She was up and around. She's scanning the hallways pretty much like I do here in commercial breaks. That's where I get my bounceable energy from. I'm pretty sure it's my great-grandma. But I feel like it's a conversation to have, because if what happens if the assistance of in dying is quite a, you know, personal issue to me, particularly, that's why I pretty much put that hefty disclaimer up at the top of the show. But I feel like it's up to the family, and if it depends on which side of the family you approach, you know, if people say, you know, people who are very, very pro this, very, very kind of leftist kind of view would see this okay, and people of the right would say it's not okay. I mean, that's the state in America, but depends on where you sit on the political perspective. I mean, as a moderate myself, I'm very situational on these types of things. I'm very middle of the road, and I've always have been, and that's what being a moderate is. I mean, hell, I talked about this last week. Political spectrums don't apply to me, because in one country I'm a moderate Republican, and in the other country I, quote, side with someone with left-leaning economic traditional values, unquote, which, yeah, well, that's a whole nother story, but my point is, with this conflicting mind that I have and all matter of perspectives, I feel that it kind of has this, the point I was making, it's very situational on these types of things, because it can be important for the person dying. I mean, the person may say no, but what type of mind are they in to say no? And that goes for anyone in hospital. I do care about people in hospital, don't get me wrong, but I mean, according to the rules of a basic contract, if we look at law, I'm kind of on the right of this issue a little bit, you know, off to the right in this issue a little bit. I mean, if you look at the basis of a contract, the two parties involved, which would be the doctors and the ill person, heaven forbid, you know, the person who's on the brink of death, they are dying, and they are not in the right state of mind to consent to this contract. It'll have to go to the next in kin. The logical step would be the next in kin would then say whether they want the person to suffer, to continue dying, or to have an assistant suicide, to lack of a better term. Well, that's the case in the US. I don't know how Canada has set it up, but in California, states like California, I know that's how it's being proposed. But that it goes to the next in kin, who might do something for their benefit. I mean, it's not their fault. They're a human. They have their objectives. So that might not suit the objectives of the person who's actually involved, the ill person. That might not be their objectives. So they're going against what they're saying, and they're kind of being objectified. That's just my perspective. I could be wrong, but
That's just my personal view. But it'd be interesting to have that conversation. I'll put this statement up on my Facebook page, at Dale Murray Campbell, you can see for yourself. That's facebook.com/ Dale Murray Campbell, DaleMurrayCampbell. You can see that in its full detail. I'll put the statement from the Minister of Judgment and Attorney up there. Here is a collection of stories that topped the news in 2016. According to thetelegraph.co.uk, there are two attacks that took place. One at the international airport, reportedly near the American Airways departure lounge, and an underground metro subway station, where, according to thetelegraph.co.uk, they're reporting 31 people died, injuring 270. Now, I've seen that, I say reportedly, because I've seen that number go as high as 34. So I'm just not trying to give away false information, but I'm just forwarding on what I've been being given here. The third suicide bomber was a fugitive Paris bomb maker. Turkish president says that one suspect was deported from Turkey to the EU. This, of course, is the information, the latest information that telegraph.co.uk is providing for us. A Paris terror cell survivor travelled to Birmingham before the attacks last year. Belgium rebuckled for chaotic passport control 3 weeks ago. Airport bomber's suicide message to his mother, which we'll be getting to that in just a moment. Bushel's air attack suspects unmask at the El Bakri brothers. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that incorrectly. First death confirms as others' families wait on to hear from others reporting either injured or missing. Breton feared dead and he says he is safe before going on the metro. Police are now hunting down a fourth subject. We, the federal government, will reduce our income tax by an agreed percentage and allow state governments to levy an income tax equal to that amount that we have withdrawn. There will be no increase to income tax in the taxpayer's point of view. Eventually, states and territories will be able to choose the amount of tax that they raise independently. Malcolm Turnbull said in a press conference that they will collect these taxes still from the from the states, just so there is no, quote, just so there is, sort of, quote, I'm paraphrasing for the benefit of the audience, that there are no handling costs involved with the transition. So I love the fact we're in 2016 and we are now just complaining about how the Oscars is so white. And I'm going around the house now and saying, this mic is so loud. Everything is so over the top. It's so dramatic that, you know, this coffee is so hot. I'm going to complain about it on Twitter. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I haven't complained about it on Twitter. I will take to Twitter, this Oscar, so why? You can follow me at TheDaleCampbell. But let's get to the hashtag. Let them stay. Now, quite honestly, and I said this controversial statement on the air after the Paris attacks. There was hashtags thrown around left, right, and center. Now, I'm a fan of informing people of the... I do this show, that's why I do a two-hour talk show. Every single week, I want to... I want to do more, that's the point. I love talking. I love talking about the controversial issues. I love talking about the issues that matter most. But here's the thing. Don't need... Or maybe you do need, in this day and age, you do need something to make sure a topic is sorted by one area. Like, okay, so say for example, if they used the hashtag no Nauru, for example, that does not have such a selling appeal as the let them stay hashtag does. Trust me, it doesn't. No Nauru does not have the same ring to it as let them stay, because let them stay invokes an emotional response from people. Now, I said the controversial statement on the show when the Paris attacks that everyone was changing their Facebook profile picture to the Paris flag. Another word there that I would have had to bleep out. The flag with an L. I said the controversial statement that I was against that. That it was actually promoting terrorist attacks. Some people hated me for that. Some people liked me for that. Trust me. Oh, trust me. I had a whole heap of people pull me aside on the street who listened locally and said, "What are you talking about?" But here's the thing. So, the Let Them Stay hashtag is designed to do that. And so was the Sydney Siege one. I will ride with you. Whenever we talked about the Sydney Siege, it was referred to I will ride with you. Because the I will ride with you had a much more emotional connection to people than the actual siege itself. We didn't use the hashtag Sydney Siege, we used the hashtag I will ride with you, because it had that emotional connection of people coming together, etc, etc, etc. So, I think we need to stop invoking, yes, it is an emotional time, but what are we trying to say here? Are we trying to send a passionate message, or are we trying to send an emotional message? With a hashtag like this, and other hashtags, this is not the only hashtag I'm having a go at, and I'm not having a go at 267 asylum seekers who are probably being kicked out of this country, unrightly so. I say unrightly so, I know it's constitutional, and I know the government has decided that, and the High Court has ruled on it. Ethically unacceptable. So, and I know I'm probably going to be dragged to the fire for that, but thing is, are we sending a passionate message, or are we sending an emotional message? An emotional message will draw more results, yes, but a passion-filled message will send much more. It will send much more powerful of a message, because you can say a lot of things with passion. Emotion, you just let the hashtag do all the talking. What do you want to do? What do you want the talking to be? You want the talking to be on the message or the hashtag? Because I'm not okay with a hashtag doing talking for me. But that's, I shouldn't laugh. Around 11 o'clock on Thursday night, Pokemon Go trainers from around New York City gathered in Central Park, hearing someone called that a Vaporeon had swarmed nearby. Once one player catches a Pokemon, it will only linger on other players' apps for just a few minutes before despawning, where it's gone forever. So hundreds of players rush towards Vaporeon's alleged location, hoping to grab the Pokemon before it disappeared. A fellow Pokemon Go trainer captured the Vaporeon stampede on video and posted it to Vimeo yesterday. The video... actually, I'm crying. The video shows one man getting out of his running car to join the crowd trying to catch the Vaporeon, while the video taker and a friend watch in amusement.
given that the EV evolutions are totally random, and no, there is no actual trick to picking an EV evolution, regardless of what other sites say, it's no wonder that there was a mad rush to grab the Vaprion. Where am I? The EVs are uncommon in Pokemon Go, and the EV evolutions in the wild are even more rare. Pokemon Go is now the biggest mobile app in history. If we've got one message for you today, it's be careful out there.
While 2016 has been huge for the news, it has also been huge for the show in general. This next package is a collage of the achievement that not only I have been through in 2016, but a show as a whole.
Thursday the 18th of August to the 25th of August, pretty much from... I'm going to say from Thursday afternoon to Thursday morning, though I fly out at 6 o'clock in the morning, so I don't know if I can say that. So basically from Thursday the 18th of the afternoon, from the 18th of August to Wednesday the 24th of August, I'll be in Melbourne.
You may have told by the tone in my voice that I am a little bit nervous. I'm actually star-strutted, actually. I mean, I'm not gonna lie here. I'm a bit star-strutted. I'm joined by a very, very talented man. Well, I think he's a man. I can get confirmation from him. He's host of Fast Forward from Cairns FM 89.1. Thomas Humphreys, everyone.
I'm joined yet again by some special individuals. With an S this time. This is the first time the show has ever had more than two people on it. We're going to see how this works. More than two, yes. Because there's three of us here sitting here. That was the voice of Carl, by the way. And that's Carl over there on the first side, okay. We're celebrating transgenderism here today. No, I'm just kidding. We're very diverse. It's a very diverse cast here on the show. And I'm the only one without glasses. I don't wear that. But that is truly diversity. Thanks for joining us. I'm not catching a Pokemon live on the air. You know, there's a show happening here for the next 3 minutes.
That is the show.
Alright. Can we just go? How do I do this? Do I just like.
Yeah, just hold
on. Yeah, right. Let's get studio view in here.
Yep,
all right.
Yep,
uh-huh.
There you go, yep. And catch it.
How does this even work? Can I? Alright, here we go. I mean, I'll probably miss from this angle.
Yeah.
We
want
to do. You can do it.
Oh, that worked! That worked!
Did it, though.
Holy crap, this might work. That worked!
Yes! Oh,
a caterpillar.
Oh, wow. Like, what, 40?
142.
Oh, okay.
Decent Caterpie
indeed. All right.
The marathon, doing half the marathon itself, I want to take a couple of minutes here to thank everyone who gave me support, listeners, contributors to the show as well, and just friends, family. It means a lot to me, your massive, overwhelming amount of support that was given to me in doing this race, and I truly could not do it without you. So thank you again, friends, family, loved ones, for all of your support as well through doing half the marathon. My plans in that regards, people have asked me what my plans are in terms of running. I'm not necessarily a runner, but I will keep up just casually doing running and whatnot. I do apologize, my camera's a bit wonky. There you go. But I will keep up running and the like, just as general fitness and whatnot, because I enjoy running. Running is peaceful to me, and we've got some lovely scenery here where I live, so I'm definitely going to be keeping up the running.
We're going to try and work on getting the Whopper on the show next week. It's going to be fun. I want to do that. I want to interview the Whopper. I want to interview... You know what we should do next week? We should do burger debates next week on the show. Oh,
That'd be awesome. So there you go. Is he leading in the polls though? Let me see. The options: vote now and collect your Whopper reward. You've got Whopper, Turnbull, Shorten, Denali, or Joyce. Of course, I'm going to vote Whopper. Let's have a see. Smart vote indeed. No, I'm not doing that. Let's see if I vote. You clearly can't. If you pick the Whopper, of course you get your free upgrade to your Whopper meal. But if you didn't read your how to vote card, if you voted for someone else, that is really cool. Of course, the Whopper for Prime Minister, and we're gonna have. My people and the Whoppers people are going to try and get on the show next week. This is really just an excuse for me to eat burgers live on the show. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, glad you can be with us. The real leaders had a debate, and we're going to bring you the highlights and the lowlights depending on your perspective. It's 9:29. Well, that brings us to the end of the greatest hits of 2016. I hope you've sincerely enjoyed them. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can do so at genericliveshow@gmail.com. Until next week, where we will run down the biggest stories of 2016, I've been Dale Campbell, and we're going to leave you tonight with some of the most randomness moments of 2016. I've been Dale Campbell. This is the Generic Live Show's Greatest Hits. Bye for now. Though, to keep your appetite whetted. $88. Chinese New Year. 24 karat gold. Really? Really? Is that what we're doing these days? Are you hungry? Bingo! 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 Bingo. I knew the line had to be in there somewhere. Bingo, it's right there. Right there, in that last paragraph. Right there, there it is. Here we go. I'm getting excited. I'm on a hot one here. Can I get a hallelujah? I like how direct I am with that. It's kind of a, you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back off the Visa world. You could do In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, and you can start it off with doing the, you could do the bass. Hey people, wake up. We have priorities as well. What are you talking about? Who let the Palin out? Good to be here, to be back in the saddle once again. I have endured all circumstances to bring you this fine episode. Majority of people moving in each direction are New Zealand citizens. Hokey pokey, that's why I'm being jumping all over the place. Oh, it's marketing round. It's marketing round. Oh, we have fanfare for that. Here we go. Where's our fanfare there? Yes. All right. Mind me while I scratch my ankle. Ba-da-bum-bum. Boom. But if you've got a song that you want us to play, it's a Taylor Swift game. No word yet of whether it'll involve songwriting, collecting squad members, or adopting cats, though.
No.
Oh, well, hang on, the phone's ringing. Oh, hang on. Yay! You can't have one without the other. Yeah, profit, market share. Big doses and teasers and wow, this is going downhill. Hang on. Oh no, Dale, if you're wrong, oh no, this is gonna be nightmares.
Look out. Scary.
Ah!
Hopefully. It's not working. That's not my loss.
On top of this, secret chaps.
Well, the ballots are being counted. What is that noise?
that noise can stop. Thank you.
We've had a bit of a crisis situation here to start off the show. I don't know whether to leave the broadcast and then come back or what to do, because we have a spillage live here in the studio. This is breaking news. We have a spillage that has caused a bit of a wreck. Might have to leave the broadcast to come back in a minute or so. Actually, you know what? I will do that. I'll be back in a minute. I'm just gonna keep playing the theme song. I'll be right back. Yeah, Democrats on the floor. Dumbo here on a Tuesday with Joe. I just called myself Joe. The hell is wrong with me?
I just interviewed a burger.
You won't really have that. Pay attention. Swirling around the coffee mug. That was really good. Woo! That's right. Here, give you a big dose. Hot, delicious soup of mess. Nope, that's bare blank pieces of paper. Come on. Oh, ice wall. Whoops. Beep. It's dripping with sexiness. If you've been living under a rock, well, poor you. poor you. Oh my god, Spain is not in South America. Ladies and gentlemen, intelligence! Yay! Some people refer to that radio show that I do, so... What is happening? Yay! The show is broken! In Sesame Street presents Elmo's Super Fun Show.
Pauline Hanson, she joins us live right now in the...
It's 9:51.
It's pain time.
It's pain and Canaan time is what it is.
What kind of bread are we having today, Dale?
What?
Pain is French for bread.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. It's 11 o'clock. Actually, I should have got you guys to do the time. What am I doing?
We'll do it
together. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Thanks for joining us here at the Joe Show. It's 11 o'clock.
Somewhere.
Oh.
Program, how are you finding the generic live show? Hang on, I have a survey for you. Hang on,
I think it's a bit bland. I think it's too generic, Dale.
Oh.
How am I going to do this? I need both my hands. Okay, so like... Yep. More like a party than an ice cream. It's the generic live show.
You might have the same opinions as me, that should, but that's not gonna happen.
Is she confused on what pasta sauce to buy?
I'ma chop your Pokemon cards in half.
Please don't. They're worth nothing.
Oh, never mind. What exactly is that delicious gay taste?
Oh dear God, no!
Ah, okay. I see what this article's trying to do.
Traditional.
Let me talk show. I talk, I host, not you. Here's the deal. So
my god, I cannot believe that restaurants of all things
got up something into my redneck, hasn't it?
My gosh, I can't believe that restaurants down the restaurants down the street have been a booming. Now who would have thought that? My gosh.
I'm getting a no in my ear. Which means no.
Oh my. Power.
Who are ladies and what do they do and how do they work?
Wow. Okay. That's dark. Jeez. Happy birthday. No. 30 minutes into President and Chill and Mr. Trump gives you that look.
Hey, well, at least I'm putting you all through this as well.
This has been a podcast of the Geek AM Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. For more geeky goodness, head over to geek-io.net.